You're listening to a podcast from 702.
To London now we go, and not quite with Adam Gilchrist. Of course, he is on leave this whole week, but we are joined by the equally brilliant John Adderley. Good morning to you, John. And I suppose mainly positive reaction to the US-North Korea summit, although, of course, many are asking questions around the details.
Yeah, I think that's right. Good morning. Yeah, largely positive reaction, as you say. The South Korean President Moon Jae-in, who also, of course, met Kim Jong-un earlier in the year, he said the two Koreas and the US will write new history of peace and cooperation. And China, North Korea's only real ally, of course, also said the meeting created a new history. The Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe praised President Trump's leadership and effort, but Russia warned that the devil is in the detail, and it's not always that there's agreement with Russia, but I think generally they've probably got a point there, as you were just mentioning. I think people want to know more about the detail of all of this. And Iran said North Korea should not trust the US, which is perhaps understandable given that Donald Trump recently pulled out of the international nuclear deal with Iran. It was that news conference that was held a few hours after the summit, just after we talked this time yesterday, that did provide some surprise, because Donald Trump said the US would be halting US military exercises in South Korea. He also said he had an aspiration to pull US troops out of South Korea. He said those war games, as he called them, were very expensive and provocative. So that seemed as quite a big concession to North Korea, and perhaps a bit of an unwelcome surprise for South Korea, who really welcomed, obviously, that support militarily from the United States. But yes, the devil is in the detail, as Russia put it. You know, they've signed that agreement, a commitment from Mr. Kim to rid the Korean Peninsula of nuclear weapons. But how and when is it all going to happen? And perhaps more importantly, how is it all going to be verified? How are the North Koreans going to be held to account? I think those are still questions for another day. The two leaders are still basking in the publicity. It's over all of our front pages here in London today and the newspapers. So I think people are still reflecting on what was a really extraordinary meeting and one of those really historic handshakes. But those questions are going to get louder and louder, I think, as time goes on. And by the way, we also heard that North Korea has accepted an invitation. The North Korean leaders accepted an invite to the White House, which won't go down well with everybody, I would say, on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a very interesting one to certainly. I mean, we've already heard Republican senators really asking tough questions, never mind just the Democrats. We'll see how it all unfolds. Now, the UK government has avoided defeat as there was that vote on the Brexit bill. Tell me about that.
Yeah, slightly complicated, but also very, very important and difficult days for Theresa May. We're now halfway through 2 days of voting on the EU withdrawal bill. That's the so-called divorce settlement, you know, the big piece of legislation that will allow Brexit to happen. It only takes a few rebel Conservative MPs to vote against the government to inflict a defeat. We're talking here about MPs who wanted to stay in the EU. Now, ministers have just seen off a threat to rebel by MPs. They want, some of them want, a more decisive say. They say Parliament should have more of a say over what happens next if they vote against the final deal. Now, the government says that ties its hands behind its back when it comes to negotiating with Brussels. It doesn't want that. They're promising more talks with rebel remainers, if you like, you know, those that are unhappy that maybe the government has got too much power. But I think Theresa May has just put off the evil day. It meant that she won a key vote yesterday, but now these MPs who decided to side with the government reluctantly are going to hold Theresa May to account and say, okay, you promised us more details, let's have it then. And if they're not happy, I think when the next big round of votes comes, which is on trade, future trade with the EU, they're going to be voting on that in July, they might not be so willing to give the government the benefit of the doubt. So Theresa May is still on very shaky ground, but I think she is going to get through the rest of the votes today, but there's a lot more to come.
And of course, John, it's a long time since 1966, but the English team has high hopes in Russia.
Well, high hopes, yeah. I think everyone admits, including the team manager, Gareth Southgate, that we have got a young, inexperienced team out there now in Russia, landing there yesterday. So I think the hopes really are that the team will play well. He wants them to play with flair and entertain the nation. So maybe the best hope, as Gareth Southgate puts it, is that people can go to work the day after an England game having enjoyed our matches. That seems quite, you know, modest expectations. I think really this is a warm-up World Cup, if you like, for a new side, and maybe they'll come back in 4 years' time. You know, having got this experience behind them. So I think everyone's looking for an entertaining time from England, maybe not to progress too far in the tournament, but you never know. We're up against Tunisia on Monday, then it's Panama, and we've got one of the favourites, Belgium, to come as well. But, yeah, expectations not desperately high, but a chance to get some experience in the bag for a fairly new team.
I mean, and so it's always amazing what teams do when they don't have the weight of expectations. John Adderley there on the line from London with our worldview perspective. Now, every day on the Emirates Worldview, we ask you to send us a question on any world topic you want to know more about. And today's question comes from Fareed, who tweeted hashtag Emirates Worldview. What is the centermost point of the Earth? To get to the answer, we spoke to the head of operations at the South African Radio Astronomy Observer. We spoke to the head of operations at the South African Radio Astronomy Observatory, part, of course, of the SKA. That's the Square Kilometer Array. And that's, of course, Lindsay Magnus.
The centermost point of the Earth is its inner core, which is a ball of mostly iron, roughly a diameter of about 2,000 kilometers. And what's interesting about it is that it's very hot and is in turn very conductive. And it's this hot-conductive combination that we believe gives rise to the Earth's magnetic field. And, well, magnetic fields are really useful because we've been using them for navigation for hundreds of years.
Well, congratulations then to Fareed Kaji for having your Emirates Worldview question answered. You've won R1,000 courtesy of Emirates. Fly Emirates Business Class to experience a new level of comfort.
If you have a question on an interesting topic for Emirates Worldview, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702 or hashtag Emirates Worldview on Twitter. There's more Emirates Worldview on 702.co.za.